Love.
Loveline is meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. This is Loveline.
Loveline.
With Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew is a board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist. Tonight, Carlos Mencia is here. Mind of Mencia is the name of the show, Wednesday nights, 10:30. I didn't see the premiere, but I was at Comedy Central today, and they were just giddy about it. Did very well in the ratings, I understand. And I've been hearing... And, you know, here's the thing. Here's how I know Carlos is a funny guy. Not because I saw his show. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about comedians. Comedians are like catty chicks who talk about other chicks at a beauty pageant. You, as a male, you see some smoking hot blonde. They're like, look at her with their collagen and her ass. You know, they talk smack.
How could you like somebody like that?
Comedians do... I don't know other comedians who like other comedians or who will acknowledge that they're funny. And
are you kidding? I've been living with you for 10 years.
Right. I don't even like myself.
I know.
I don't like Jimmy. I don't like myself. I don't like you. I don't like anybody.
I'm not funny, so you don't have to worry about me. That's why we get along.
Yeah, you're cool, buddy. You're cool.
Yeah, you guys are the perfect relationship. That's why.
Right.
As long as you don't try to be funny.
Don't try. I don't even know if he's trying to do anything.
It doesn't matter, does it? Whether I try or not, it's the same outcome.
The point is, I've been working on this Comedy Central thing, and I keep running into people and hearing people and talking to people, and they're like, oh, Carlos, yeah, no, the show's really funny. The show's really good. He's really funny. And I can tell they're almost gritting their teeth when they're saying it because people are just dying to talk a little.
A little smack.
Little comedian smack. Yeah, but everyone says, no, funny. Funny show, funny guy. So
I think the funniest one is I got like really bad hate mail the day of, and it was like this long letter. So I knew that he wrote it based on the time while the show was airing. He was writing this hate mail.
Wow.
And it was about like, you know, I shouldn't have done that Middle Eastern jokes, and I'm a racist and not all, you know, terrorist, blah, 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 blah.
Oh, boy.
And this was on Wednesday. Yeah, so on Wednesday night, Thursday morning, of course, the bombings happened in...
Interesting.
Yeah. So then he wrote an apology letter at like 10 o'clock in the morning. I'm sorry.
To you.
Yeah.
Wow.
After writing me the hate mail, because he was like, hey, man, you shouldn't say about terrorists and Middle Eastern. And then when that happened, he was like, I guess there's a reason you're doing those jokes, and I apologize. It was hilarious.
You know what? It just dawned on me, because I was thinking about the stack of hate mail I'm going to get.
Ooh.
And listen, I say horrible racist things, and I'm a white guy, so I'm really screwed.
You're in trouble.
The point is why are these people watching Comedy Central?
I have no idea.
Should they be watching O'Reilly Factor or something, or just anything, TNN or TNT, anything
starts
with a T?
Something more serious, yeah.
Is there anything but Comedy Central?
But they're the comedy killers because people listen to them. A million people can call up this show and say, you guys are great and you're not offensive.
One says you suck.
If one person calls and says, you are offensive, everybody listens to that a-hole. That's the problem.
They're the letter writers.
I know, but, you know, if you really think about it, why should it be, and I wish it was, but it's no different from a percentage standpoint than what goes on in society. One guy throws a beer bottle out on a ball field, and for the rest of eternity, we're all drinking beer out of a styrofoam cup. Because one guy threw a beer bottle out there.
Right.
One kid burns his trailer down with a Bic lighter. We have a safety lighter. We're all pulling the skin off our thumb trying to light a joint because things got a wire hoop around it that won't let us flick it. One person Fs up. All of us are F'd.
Yes.
I mean, that's all. It's like I was at McCarran Airport in Las Vegas yesterday standing in line behind 2,000 people, none of which were terrorists.
Right.
All it takes is one guy, and now we're in line. And saw the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life was a boy who must have been 4 and a half, almost dressed like a Dutch boy, like wearing like a blazer,
like the lederhosen and stuff.
Yeah, just like a kid who would be on a packet of cocoa, like so cute. And he's holding his arm straight out, and there's a guy bent down on one knee, giving him the thing, giving him the metal wand. This kid was not.
Did you say anything
yet? I was standing. I had a joint in my toiletry bag,
and so you don't want to say anything.
And I got pulled aside, so yeah. I was in freak out,
right?
But trying to look cool mode,
right? Right.
You know that thing where you're freaking out inside, but you go be cool on the outside, so you almost start falling asleep on the outside, right. And then you're like, wait a minute, yeah. That's high.
I saw the little blonde girl with the pigtail, with the little ponytails coming off the top of her head. Right. She must have been 7, maybe.
With the
getting
wand?
Getting checked.
Yeah.
And next to her is an old lady who they're like, ma'am, raise your arms. She was so old. She couldn't actually lift her arm. They had to get 2 guys to come and help her lift her arms, and I couldn't hold myself. I'm like, listen, guys, if she hijacks a plane, whoever's on that plane deserves to die.
Right.
Because when you get hijacked by a lady who can't lift her arms, what is your problem? Yeah. What are we afraid of here? They took away my nail clippers. I'm like, are there a bunch of Thai people that are going to manicure everybody on the plane that we're afraid of? I don't understand this.
I had my scissors confiscated yesterday, by the way.
To be fair, your scissors next to your pot.
Luckily, I put the joint inside of a multivitamin container. Talk about versatility. Multivitamins with a joint in there. You know what I mean? About, showing my range.
Talk about steely nerves.
Steely nerves. Ah, screw the man. I'm bringing a joint home. Someone gave it to me at a bachelor party.
Perfect, man.
Carlos is, by the way, 1 of 18 children.
What?
Which is insane.
Is that like sick?
Do you have any kids?
No.
Oh, wait till you have kids. You'll be...
Well, we don't have kids of our own, but we're always taking care of somebody. Because, I'm that person. And, like, in a Hispanic family, you got to take care of your family. Like, we don't get rid of our parents or grandparents.
Right.
Don't get me wrong. We want to. I don't want to seem superior to all, like, white people. We want to get rid of them. But you just can't because you grow up believing that God helps you because you help them, and there's this religious thing, and then if you put your grandparents in an old folks home, they kill a chicken, you know what I mean? And then the next day you got a raspy voice. I'm not kidding you.
Chupacabra coming.
Oh, no, there's a chupacabra, there's a cucuy, there's a llorona. I'm not kidding you, man. We didn't even have babysitters when I was a kid. My mom would just leave, and I was like, what?
The older siblings would take care of
it. No, there would be a monster that would eat me if I didn't do something, like some crazy monster, you know, the cucuy is going to get you, you know? And my dad would like get drunk and dress up all creepy and put makeup on and come into my room and el cuckoo, you scare the crap out of me in the middle of the
that's
night, the you know?
Mom,
sure wasn't a transvestite.
Yeah.
He probably wasn't. I didn't even know.
He just drunk and stumbled into the wrong room after a hard night.
Exactly. He's probably coming in off Santa Monica Boulevard. I want some. And I'm just like, el cuckoo. But they would do stuff like that. And they were just like, I asked my dad, this is a true story. I was old enough to go, Dad, why'd you guys have so many kids? You know, thinking he was going to give me a real great answer. And he actually looked at me and he said, it's because your mom doesn't go down on me.
Wow.
Oh,
wow.
Straight to my face.
Dad.
Wow.
Dad.
Yeah.
Dad of the year. Dad
of
the year.
I just looked at my dad and I went.
How old were you, 4?
I was, 7? I think, no. I was like 13.
Oh.
And then I went up to my mom and I said, Mom, Dad's being retarded. Why do you guys have so many kids? And she went, I'm not going to go down on your father. I swear to God. Wow. And I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you know, I wonder.
That is old country.
That's old school, right? Yeah. Just true, painful. Yeah.
I wonder, too, just sort of thinking about it when, you know, there are those couples that have clearly been together too long, and you could just see them. You see them at the mall. They hate each other, but they're so miserable. They're both so miserable. They're the only one who'd hang out. No one else will hang out with them. Not that this is Carlos's parents, but I'm wondering, like, oral sex is almost a reward. It's like what you do for your guy when he's had a long week and been a good boy. And if he hasn't been a good boy in, like, 9 years, the oral seems like it's going to be off the menu. Whereas the intercourse is something you feel like almost contractually obligated to do because of the marriage.
It's like it's going to happen no matter what.
Right. Here's the thing. The intercourse is like washing the car once a month, but the oral's like a coat of carnauba wax. Nobody said I had to wax it. I'll keep the bird ass off the windshield. That's as far as I'm going. That's how some women sort of approach their sort of sexual relationship maintenance, you know? Just a little something, just enough so I don't get a ticket or no just kid takes his finger and washes
but
me
it's,
on it.
But it's racially different, I found.
Oh, yeah.
Because dating Hispanic chicks, they're like, you know, no way, I'm not doing that unless you, like, you gotta earn it before that happens.
Yeah.
With white women, it's like, I'll do that before I do anything else.
Yeah.
So, when I started dating white chicks, man, I'd go back to the hood and go, dude, You're not. We didn't even do it, man. She went down. No way. Yes. It was like, wow, Carlos was with a white chick. It was awesome. I get the gangbangers going, not even Holmes, and she did it like that. I was like, yup. It was awesome, man. It was. It's a whole different mentality.
I'm starting to think, really. I know this is going to sound horrible too, but I think white women are a little naive because they haven't been through the ringer. They haven't got their ass kicked quite as much as blacks and Mexican chicks.
You mean historically? Or
yeah, you know what they're like? You know animals who have no natural predators and don't know that man is dangerous?
Right.
So they're just friendly.
Yeah. Right.
And that's what white chicks are like. They become like black and Mexican chicks. Eventually, they get shot at enough, and then they start hiding, and they start running, and they start getting suspicious and stuff like that. I wonder if white women haven't been kicked around enough to really build up that suspicion.
Well, it's like dogs. It's like dogs in the hood and dogs in the suburbs.
Yeah. Right.
Dogs in the suburbs will run up and
wagging
play with you
tail.
And lick you and wag the tail.
Yeah.
And in the hood, it's like, beware of dog, because as soon as you get close, rah, 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 and you're like, bam.
Right. And if they do walk past you, they do that weird sideways half-bent crescent walk tail tucked in weird going around you.
Right. Like, what are you doing? It's creepy.
Yeah, they're bent, by the way. They're bent sideways. I don't even know how they walk that way. I think that makes that sound they make when you tinkle on the piano.
Maybe that's why the majority of strippers are white, because like blacks and Hispanics are kind of used to it, so it doesn't freak them out. Whereas to like with the white girls, once that traumatic experience happens,
they go
straight to the pole.
Straight to the pole.
Straight to the pole.
That's interesting.
Yeah. No, that's true. If every black and Mexican chick who got traumatized went straight to the pole, that's all. They're just, you'd open the door, they'd come barreling out.
Exactly.
They'd
you'd
be buried by an avalanche of Mexican chicks.
Yeah, the DJ would have to be, welcome to paradise.
Yeah, exactly. It'd be tough, that old accordion-driven music.
Do you think Carlos could be good at our game? Should we play again?
Oh, boy.
Carlos, we got a game for you.
What's
the
game?
Well, we got to play Ace's Ranchero Mexican Accordion Countdown. Now, this game is, I predict it's going to sweep the nation. Yeah. Now, I'm going to let engineer Chris take a couple minutes to boot up. You got to find out. Here's how the game goes.
Okay.
I'm not Mexican, but I'm sort of an honorary Mexican because I've been doing construction in the San Fernando Valley, from high school to, age 30-something and
if
beyond.
If that's the case, that means you know enough Spanish.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I work with these guys, and here's how it works on the site. Whoever's radio it is what music you get to listen to, and if there's enough S-kickers, you'll listen to country music, and there's enough Mexicans, you'll listen to ranchero music.
Right.
Depends whose radio it is and who's got more. I've listened to a lot of ranchero music.
Which is really, believe it or not,
don't say it's good.
This creepy version of
German,
polka.
A polka, yeah. It's a German thing.
It's like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, we found out the history of it.
Germans ended up in Mexico.
In Mazatlan.
Yeah.
Ended up setting up beer factories. And
right.
The guys with the big guitar showed up and some trumpets. And
it's the creepy, all of a sudden,
But you know what it's the equivalent of? It's like in a scary movie when you see clowns and you hear the happy calliope music and then it starts getting warped and weird. That's what it ends up because it goes south really fast. Right, play a little taste of it.
Set it up though.
I'll give Carlos my impersonation of
what it's like in your house.
What it's like in my home, because I was building for 2 years at my house, and every single morning would sound like this. Hey, Ozzie, you got to put a scratch coat on before you put a brown coat on, because it's going to fall right off the K-lath. And by the way, you should be using broken metal lath. Oh, if you're going to use a notch, hold on. What the hell is it? Turn that goddamn music down! I'm going insane! Turn it off! Turn it off! It's like that's 8:15 in the morning. It adds a surreal, bizarre quality to the argument you're having with the contractor. But you don't notice it till about 25 seconds into the argument, and then you just snap. Like, what is that? Turn it! You just want to take a pickaxe to the stereo. All right, turn it down.
So the game is,
how
many seconds, they pick a random song.
We take a random ranchero song.
And start at a random spot in the song.
And we start it in the middle, near the end, and we don't know where it starts. How many seconds before you hear the accordion? It could be immediate, it could be 3 seconds.
It could be 8 seconds. What's your vote?
And this, you guys,
any, no, any song. Any, he's going to pick
we,
a song.
He has 20 random Ranchero songs that we not and we know not what start. They are. And he's going to hit start, cue up somewhere in the middle of one of them.
It's somewhere between 3 and 5, so I'll say four seconds.
4 seconds.
I'll give it one.
Solid.
One.
Yeah.
Solid one?
1 second.
I'll tell you, the answer that wins most times is just immediate.
Yeah.
It comes in with you. I'm gonna go sick and go six.
Oh,
and that is the lifetime. That's a lifetime.
That's the lifetime of all lifetimes.
Yes, and according. All right, now hold on a second. Let me get the clock queued up here because this gets down to tenths of a
four,
second.
Three, two, one.
Recuerdo con todo el corazón cuando te estoy mirando, mi amor sufro por ti.
Is that a Corey in the background?
No.
No.
This is pure trumpets.
Yeah, I don't think we're hearing any accordion. This
you guys picked a song that doesn't have an accordion
Impossible.
In it.
Impossible.
The world will come to a close. It's still annoying. It's all hell, but...
This never happened.
Wow. I don't know what to do. We gotta convene with the judges or something. All right, find a new song. We gotta play one more time.
Yeah, you gotta. It's,
you
there's
sure
gotta
that wasn't
be one
the accordion keeping the beat there? That boom, 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 boom.
See, until it comes a little north, the accordion doesn't kick in. That's called norteño, which is north. So it's
oh, really?
A little of that northern influence, the Yankee influence of the Mexicans. So yeah. When it was just pure,
so that heavy accordion Oompa. Influence from San Diego swept down into
yeah exactly.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
Capital of the world. Yeah. All right, Chris, do you
same
have
bets.
Another?
Same bets.
For no one? All right, let's get the countdown.
4, 3, 2, 1,
go.
That's right.
I feel strangely relieved.
But see, this one doesn't have the tubas and stuff.
Right.
That's
so
flat.
Drew, you took one second. You're 1 second off.
Yeah.
It was immediate.
It was immediate.
Yeah, I should have went with that. All right. Well,
so much
that's
better.
Good. Yeah. Vindication, because I was freaked out.
You want me to tell you what's the creepiest thing? To go to a Mexican wedding in East L.A., okay, and to feel so far removed that when they play, like they're playing kind of normal, regular music and nobody's dancing, and then one of those songs comes out and like roaches to the floor. Uh-huh. It's like,
really?
That's the song! And everybody just rushes it, and you're just sitting there going... Oh my God! Because I took my wife to one the first time, and she was like, "She's white from Oregon."
Oh, she must have been horrified from Oregon.
I mean,
Oregon.
Like, yeah, she was freaked out. Like, what song is this? And that's the song that every Mexican cries to at the end. You know, there's that one song, man, that when mariachis are playing, everybody's having a good time, and then they hit that one song. I love her. I don't know why, and everybody just starts crying.
Yeah.
And
well, there's been a lot of love and a lot of loss in that culture. For white people, it's Moni Moni. When we hear that Moni Moni,
or Louie
Louie, everyone hits the dance floor. That's where we freak out. Like, what the hell are these people doing? The song sucks. Moni Moni. Yeah, maybe Billy Idol. All right, let's take
right,
a
some calls.
Oh, boy,
couple
got,
calls.
All right.
Couple calls.
All right, let's take some calls. Stacy.
Yes.
28.
Yes.
You've been married for 9 years. You want to have sex with a woman?
What?
Well, I'm attracted to women. Yeah, I've always been.
Always. So, sort of being sexually aroused by women and being sort of having erotic feelings about women does not mean necessarily I'm going to have sex with a woman.
Yeah, that was high school for me.
And college. No, I didn't go to college.
Right. But you just go ahead and give it 4 or 5 years after high school. You do the math.
So are you planning to do something? Is your marriage going bad? I mean, you're talking about cheating on a marriage, right?
Well, my husband is into lesbians.
Uh-oh.
He thinks that's hot.
Yeah, but he doesn't mean that. Is he asking you to bring one into your intimate relations?
I don't think he would mind. We've talked about it before.
All right. Do you have kids?
Yes, two.
You can't.
Did he just come into the cabin? Is that him?
What's that?
A trailer. You
is he there?
Him.
No, he's not there right now. I'm in my car.
Okay.
She just got into her car.
Okay, good. And you say, how many kids do you have?
Two.
Two kids? You see, I don't know. It's like she wants to do it, he wants to do it, but you got kids, and that's going to screw things up.
It's going to screw up your relationship. The feelings that will come out of this threesome will be unsettling and destabilizing to your relationship. It ain't worth it. You've got to have, you know, maybe when the kids are in college, you guys want to goof around. Whatever.
That's weird. Then you have a 50-year-old
flesh. Whatever. The point is, you've relinquished your
By the way, their kids aren't going to college.
You're right. You relinquish your right to.
I didn't go to college. You think your kids are going to college?
I went to college. My husband went to college.
Junior college.
Whatever.
Where'd you go to college?
Junior college.
It's not college.
It's in Texas.
Me and my husband both went to Cleveland State University.
Cleveland State.
Oh, prestigious.
All right.
Prestigious.
Is there a prestigious college anywhere near Cleveland?
No. There was once, but they ran it out.
Oberlin.
Oberlin, sure.
John Carroll.
All right, Stace, here's the deal. What you've relinquished that right to kind of goof around with your relationship when you had kids. You've got job one now, which is to keep a stable family on behalf of those children. They will know that there's a problem if you screw around in a way that destabilizes your relationship. You can't say to yourself, oh, well, we do this thing our kids don't know. We're the perfect parents. Nonsense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just contain this stuff. Don't act it out.
Well, let me explain something.
Because people have momentum with this crap.
Yeah, just have a fantasy like everybody else.
Right. It's going to be disappointing. And here's the thing. I was just sort of thinking about it, which is being a parent is sort of like enlisting in the military, except for you got an 18-year tour.
Term.
Possibly more. But the deal is like, you know, when people get killed on the battlefield, I wish they didn't get killed, but I don't feel sorry for them in the sense that they enlisted, they trained, they knew the job was dangerous when they took it.
Right.
They were probably hoping they'd be in Germany and, you know, do a good 4 years and then get some good medical benefits and a GI Bill and get the hell out of there. But as it turns out, the war happened to break out, whatever. I feel the same way with when you have kids. When you have kids, I don't care if you're 22, you're 19, or you're 35. It's like, okay, now...
Tour of duty begins.
Yeah. And it's like, now you're 2 years in the Army, and you're going, I don't like this anymore. I want to grow my hair out. I want to party. I want to have good times. Yeah. Like, sorry.
Yeah. Nope.
You signed up, and that's you're in.
Agreed.
And same way with parenting. And by the way, before you go in the Army or before you want to be a parent, do whatever you want.
Right.
I'm not going to tell you what to do. That's but right. You now sign the contract. You're in. You made a promise. And now you got to see it through.
And done.
Plus, she said that she'd had these feelings for a long time. So you should have done this in the beginning of the relationship when it was all crazy.
And she relinquished that. Pow. Kids no more.
Right. All right.
Share a relationship like Carlos has with his wife.
That's right.
Clearly.
Morgan.
We're still freaks, though. But we don't have kids yet. So.
That's good. Marriage never lasts.
Oh, yeah.
We've been together for 10 years.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's nice. So you weren't even a big celebrity when she met you?
No.
Oregon.
But she was like, I met her here in L.A. She's from Oregon.
You were doing stand-up, though, right?
At the time, yeah, but I wasn't, you know.
Yeah, no, but just you were doing your thing.
Yeah.
You're up on stage.
I didn't meet her. She didn't know. I mean, I met her as a civilian, not a comedian. And
really?
Then she found out I was a comedian.
So they say that. I saw this thing where Carl
that's
Malone.
That's what they say.
Carl Malone's wife said, I actually thought he was a mailman because people called him the mailman.
Come on, sweetie. Come on. That's different. That's Carl Malone playing for the Utah Jazz.
She said she thought he was a mailman.
Listen, if he was the only, like, if he was one of the black guys on an all black team, I could understand. But when he was the only black guy on the whitest team, please, come on.
Imagine him being in Utah, too. It's like another black guy wanted to enter Utah. Sorry, we already got a black guy.
We already got our quota.
He's got a road game coming up, though. He's going to be gone for 3 days. If you want to come in, we'll give you a temporary visa.
You're going to go on a three-day road trip, so you can come back.
Kathy? It's funny. You know what thing's funny about Karl Malone, too? He is simultaneously the blackest man ever put on Earth and the whitest black man ever put on Earth.
Hmm.
Like he is the biggest, most muscular, just most, like, sort of, just sort of basketball playing, hard driving,
like
dunking.
Yep.
Yeah, everything like a Jewish guy isn't. But then he likes trucking. And he likes shooting squirrels. You know what I mean? Like, it's this crazy sort of hillbilly stuff mixed in with this crazy sort of Nubian warrior thing.
You have to be. If you're playing in Salt Lake for like 18 years or something, you gotta.
That kid's got range. That's all I'm saying about Malone. Into 18-wheelers and squirrels and dunking.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
That's nice. It's good combo.
Five. Let's see. Kathy?
Yes.
Oh, neighbors got drunk.
Tell us this.
On your porch?
What?
Yeah, we were over here getting a little drunk, and they got a little crazy on my front porch and just started to go to town.
These were neighbors that were in a relationship?
Yeah, he's from Black Band, so
you know, they're pretty crazy, so.
Oh, yeah, sure. I mean,
I know what to do. Yeah. I didn't know what to, you know, whether to watch
Do you think you're calling from Idaho, yes?
Yeah, yeah.
You named a band that nobody's heard of.
A local band in Boise.
Right.
Yep.
Do you think we should know that name?
I don't know. They're pretty good.
Fair enough.
So I'm just hold on. I'm picturing what went on. I'm going to picture what went on. You stepped out to your veranda and saw from across the sprawling estate them walking down their long paved driveway across the fountain, across the putting green, in front of the huge gilded gates that then opened, and as they strolled across
the archway,
strolled across the archway onto your sprawling villa, over the pool, over the croquet set, over the miniature pony collection you have running wild.
You can see her diamonds glistening as she approached.
Right? Or basically, it just climbed over some chicken wire and started humping against the side of your house.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said, they were over here partying with us, and stuff got a little freaky, so...
What is your question?
Just, I don't know what to do, you know? I didn't know whether to look, and I looked, and it pretty much turned me on, and I want both of them, so... And I'm married for 7 years with two kids.
All right, well, then... Hold on a second. Just hold on. We'll be back to verbally assault you.
Are you a Mormon?
Okay.
All right, just hold on a second. Carlos Mencia is here. Mine is Mencia. Name is show Wednesday nights, 10:30 on Comedy Central. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carlos Mencia is here tonight. The Mind of Mencia is the name of the show. Wednesday nights, 10:30 on Comedy Central. Oh, four. Just thought about it. I want you guys to know what a loser I am. I was talking to Carlos and Drew during the break. I've had motorcycles towed. And most people could live a thousand lives and wouldn't have one motorcycle towed. I've had motorcycles towed four times.
And each time I had to walk home from wherever you were?
Well, one time I was arrested, so I didn't have to walk home. I got to ride in the car with the guy with the badge. That was one time. The other two times walked home, and then the fourth time lent my roommate my motorcycle, and he got it towed. Still, technically, my bike was towed four times. Awesome, right?
Well done.
Yeah.
Loser.
You never got a nice cop to just like let you slide on those?
He let me ride in the front seat. I remember that. And, no, this is a awesome story, which was I had warrants out for me for, like, parking tickets and stuff. And I was 19, and I was riding a motorcycle. And I went out to dinner with my mom on Sunday night, or better yet, went over to her house to eat crappy spaghetti. And I said, I got these warrants out. If I get pulled over, I'm going to get arrested. I was hoping for a little sympathy, but maybe I had a little too much pride to ask for the $563 it was going to take to get the warrant off the record. So I was like, you know, Mom, if your son gets pulled over, he's going in. He's going in the house, big house. And she was like, oh, okay. Well, you're going to want to take Valley Vista Street because that runs parallel to Ventura, but you can stay off the main boulevard. So that was her basically tip. Not a dime, but here's the tip. As God is my goddamn witness, that was 8 o'clock Sunday night, 8:30 Monday morning. I'm driving down Valley Vista going to work going, hey, man, my mom's on to something. Runs parallel with Ventura, no stop signs. Up, rollers. Pulled over. Pulled over the following morning. Had not been 12 hours, you understand. Pulled over. I was like, what the? He's like, yeah, we had a lot of burglaries in this area, you know, in the residential area. So we started patrolling it and decided to get you instead. And then pulled me over, rang me up. Well, get in the car.
Oh.
Tow the bike. I'm going to North Hollywood Police Department. Got fired from the travel agency.
Oh,
that was awesome. Had to call him and tell him I was arrested. I wasn't coming in.
That's hilarious. Your mom's nice, though. At least she gave you the other option. My mom would have told me, you know, that's what you get. and I hope they pull you over. And she would have called the cops as soon as I left the house.
Oh, really?
To tell them to pull
me
over.
That's a real mom. And then tell you that Chubacaba is going to get you in jail.
And then some monster is going to eat me on the way there.
It's a goat sucker. By the way, Chupacabra sounds great to us because we don't speak Spanish, but when you realize the translation, which is
goat sucker?
Goat sucker. It's like, come on, you guys couldn't do better than goat sucker?
Because it was sucking goats.
Oh,
blood. And that's it. You know what I mean?
I know, but still, give it. Where's a little, you know, give it a little crazy
a little flavor.
Yeah, a little flavor. Just, okay, it was sucking.
Beelzebub.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's a lot of things, like a toilet gathers S, but we don't call it the S gatherer. You know what I mean?
I know that was, I hear you.
And it was sucking blood, but you still give it a name, you know what I mean?
I'm,
you know, winged
you.
One. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, devil's rain or something, you know, bat, you know, four-legged bat or something, you know.
It happened in the country, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Look, so pretend they're Hispanic rednecks.
Mm.
And put that into the equation.
Right. So they just said
not
what
a lot
it was.
Of education. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, it's sort of the North American Indian kind of thing. It's like,
right. They just call it what it is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Running deer.
Yes. They call him bear.
So when the helicopters came in and said, what the hell's going on? You know, the goat sucker. You know what I mean?
Oh,
that's
well,
exactly
please.
What happened.
After they got done throwing rocks at the helicopter, they called it a goat sucker. They called that the mechanical frisbee. Kathy?
Yes.
All right. So your neighbors had sex on your porch. It got you turned on.
Yep.
How long were they out there for?
Oh, probably good 15 minutes.
All right. Mm-hmm. And where was your husband?
What does that say about your sex life that you're like a good 15 minutes?
Right. No, my sex life's awesome. So
it's awesome.
My husband was standing right beside me.
Uh-huh. Do you think these guys want to do a little bit of swinging, right?
Of course they do. They've told me they do.
All right. That was sort of their enticement.
What's your husband think?
He's, you know, I don't know. He's not quite sure about it.
Yeah.
He's
your husband probably has...
drunk, but...
I mean, your husband sounds like his instincts are a little bit better than yours in the same department.
Yeah.
Where's your dad?
Where's my dad? He's home with my mother.
Oh, really? Biological father?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they've been married for 27 years.
Alcoholic?
No.
Really?
He's a cop.
Ooh. That's its own set of trouble. You know what I mean? Cops are some of the scariest guys at home.
Remember Jenna Jameson's father was a cop.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
See, I'm telling you.
No.
Put a little trauma in a white girl's world.
Yeah.
Off the deep end, baby.
Yeah, no.
Should I not go for it or what?
Yeah.
What was that?
Should I not go for it or?
No,
yes, you should
not. You know why? Because
you
have kids.
We have this discussion earlier.
What about your kids?
My kids are sleeping.
Nope. Oh.
Yeah, okay. I know, but they ain't sleepwalking when they get up and they know they have out of control mama. You understand?
It's not funny, Kathy. It isn't funny.
It'd be funny if it was funny, but it's not funny.
I mean, it's funny
to us, but it's your kids. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
What do you want?
And how old are your kids?
Boys too, so.
Oh, great. Let's just put them in prison now. Would you do that, please? Save some of the paperwork. Cut out the middleman.
Yeah, that's not very cool.
No.
Oh, and listen, seriously, your dad must have done something good.
He's going to beat on you a little bit.
Beat on you a little?
Physical.
Yeah,
a little physical abuse.
Yeah.
What else?
Yeah. A little emotional abuse.
Yeah. All right.
Now, is your...
Well, you had sexual abuse, too?
No.
All right.
Not just some physical.
Abuse. All right.
Physical abuse.
Physical and emotional abuse will send you reeling.
All right.
Unless you're Mexican or African American.
Because we're used to it. It's a higher tolerance for that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Sexual abuse. It's like, if you don't get sexual abuse, it's like, what, Grandpa, you're not attracted to me? You get esteem issues.
Yeah,
you need sexual abuse, Drew. Come on. Kathy.
Yes.
All right, so here's the deal. Try not to F your boys up, please.
Just focus on that, not your screen.
Reel it in a little. What's your husband do?
He does construction.
Oh, boy. That's bad.
What part? What kind?
What branch is he in?
Oh, he does... Sheetrock.
No, drywall. Oh, my God.
Yeah, drywall.
It's horrible. All right, but wow. All right, baby, that's bad times. You know, the construction pecking or roofer.
Right.
That's the worst.
The worst.
closest to God, but the worst guy out there is the roofer. But sheetrock is like second. Mm. And then there's the heating and air guys and, you know, the framing. Framing carpenters are bad. It gets down. Eventually, you get to the guy who does, like, the solid oak hand railing, and he's fine.
Right. You know what I mean? It's just a craftsman.
You get into the craftsman stuff. Yeah. It's fine.
Electricians fit in there. Okay.
Electricians are fine, yeah, too. The worst are roofers and then welders.
Oh.
Number two.
Oof.
We had a guy welding on an earthquake job we did once. Just drive out from Riverside. Told me during at lunch that he put Pop Rocks in his wife's...
Vagina.
Yeah, and then would gobble that up. And this guy was the guy who was, like, missing teeth and had that scraggly beard. And I was like, I'm trying to hold down a breakfast burrito. Like, oh, for the love of Christ.
And he's smiling when he's saying it, like, get a hold of this story.
Yeah, and believe me, I'm an atheist who's swinging a hammer. I have almost no sensibilities to offend. But I was like, ugh. And I could only imagine what he was married to. Ooh. You know what I mean? Oh, welders. You say, welders are dirtbags. They're biker dirtbags. Roofers are just sort of, yeah, it's sort of burnt out migrant felons, you know. But these guys are serious dirtbags. Yeah. All right. And drywallers, I think so, because roofer, welder, probably welder, roofer, drywaller. So
but they're in they were in Ohio, right? That call is from Ohio or something?
Yeah,
like
Idaho.
Idaho.
So at least she's not, her husband doesn't have to listen to.
If you hung sheetrock, that's all it'd be. Like, hey, Bob, we got this. Give me those 1¼ coarse red bugle head drywall screws, and give me the stilts, and give me a hawk. We'll go ahead and put the joint compound first, and then we'll put the topping on. We'll go ahead and use the mesh tape and solid stuff. You got a screen, or you gonna float that out without a screen? That's all. Then it gets surreal, like. What happened? What are you doing this week? I got to go to my nephew's funeral. Yeah, he was 9. Hodgkin's lymphoma. Yeah, it was pretty sad stuff. Yeah, my sister's pretty broken up about it. Yeah. I got a smaller coffin. No, they don't do a full-size one. That crazy,
and then the
surreal
screaming,
oompa.
That little scream in the back. Yeah. That little, like,
yeah. This is the song. Yeah.
Wife divorced me and took the kids. Cleaned out the bank account. I tried to OD on NyQuil last night.
I like that the song slows down and you're like, it's over. And then the beat of the next song is.
Can somebody
write a different beat to this goddamn song?
Oh, so surreal. You try to block it out. You just try to block it out, but eventually creeps back in. Carlos Mencia is here tonight. The Mind of Mencia, name of the show, on Wednesday nights, 10:30, Comedy Central. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carlos Mencia is here tonight. Mind of Mencia, and is the name of the show. I'm looking at something, and I thought I saw this. His mother's Honduran, and his father
German.
Is German.
My mom is Mexican, and my dad's Honduran. But my great grandfather is German.
Oh, thus, his father's half German.
Thus the ranchero.
And thus the Mencia.
That's that's why I know that.
Oh, so awesome. We're trying to have conversations.
But I grew up in, I was born in Honduras.
Oh, you were?
And then I came here when I was like 7 months old.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So my mom and dad would always have a fight as to, like, you know, you're Honduran, and my mom was like, you're Mexican, and, you know, they'd be pissed. And then all the kids in East L.A. would call me the wetter wetback when I was a kid because I was from farther. I swear to God.
Wetter wetback. I like that.
I was the wetter wetback.
If you're Peruvian, you're really screwed.
I guess if you're Peruvian, you're just drenched or something.
Yeah, we, you know, what's weird is... You know, white guys, I only have so much room. Like, I didn't know that. I really didn't know the difference between Japanese and Chinese until I was like 37. It was just, you're all Japanese until proven, and you're all Mexican, and you're all white, and you're all black. Like, I didn't have enough categories in my brain to sort it all out. And I certainly couldn't do the whole sort of, Central America and South America. I couldn't get all that sorted out. I still have trouble with it.
and you and I could, like, take a drive around L.A., and you can just point out people, and I'll pretty much tell you almost to the country where they're from, if they're
really?
Hispanic.
Wow. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I could tell you, you know, based on the height and the pigmentation of the skin, I could pretty much tell you, like, what kind of Indians they are.
Yeah,
you
know that's what I mean? Interesting. Oh, yeah. I should bring, I got a Nicaraguan guy. I should, well, I probably shouldn't have told you. Just figure it out. Yeah. Yeah. And he don't like it when people call him Mexican. And
you know what sucks, dude, is like, that's why I love talking about race, because you realize that racism is just
arbitrary.
Yeah. Like in the Hispanic culture, there's a hierarchy. If you're Spanish, you're at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Then it's either Puerto Rican, Cuban, mm-hmm. or in the actual, you know, Hispanic community, it's Argentina.
Hmm.
Yeah. And then it's Mexico. Mm-hmm. And then South America.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And then Central America is like the worst.
Really? I had those flip-flopped.
Yeah.
So Mexico is number three.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. And what if
you're Cubans, talking to Brazilians?
Cubans and Puerto Ricans. Mm-hmm. Brazilians aren't really included in that mix because they speak Portuguese.
Right.
So they're not really like, nobody really, you know. And
they're separate.
Yeah.
Separate
and since category. Soccer is this big thing and they're the world's greatest power in soccer, everybody just kind of like, oh, you guys rock. And that's it. You know, oh, you're women. Beautiful.
Right.
That's about it. But somebody from Argentina is pretty white country. Mm-hmm. If you go there, it's like they, unlike the majority of the people that came to this country from Europe, they didn't have sex with the locals.
Mm.
So the white people are still white.
Oh, really?
Yeah, look at Manu Ginobili, the basketball player. They look like that. Whereas
I guess you're right, yeah.
Spaniards, you got to say, they weren't racist. They didn't kill the Indians. They just banged us until we lost our features, dude. You know what I mean? They banged us out of existence, pretty much.
Well, what a way to go. I wish someone tried to exterminate me that way.
In high school, Lee.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It was like, but it's funny how, like, here in this country, because Puerto Ricans are born citizens.
Right.
They're at the top.
Right. Oh, interesting.
Then Cubans, because they don't come here because they're poor.
They're political
asylum. Exactly. They come for political asylum. Then Mexicans, you know, they come because they have to when they're poor. But then Mexicans look back at the people from Central America and go, sorry, dude, but you're the caboose of this train.
Right, so Central America, bottom of the Latino totem pole.
And if I said, we're meaning from Colombia, between Colombia and Mexico.
Yes.
We're including Colombia?
No.
Yeah.
So we're just talking about Panama's not included. Panama's not included because they got the channel.
Yeah.
They got the canal.
They used to be Colombian, too.
Yeah, so because they got the canal, they're off. So it starts Costa Rica.
Uh-huh.
It's Costa Rica, Nicaragua, Honduras,
El Salvador,
Guatemala. And believe it or not, Belize, which is in the middle of all that,
they're fine.
Nobody
cares. They don't get it. Yeah.
Great. They don't get
good
it
scuba
at all.
Diving. Good scuba diving.
Yeah, Belize is sort of like, we don't know where you are, and you're lucky.
Yeah,
exactly.
We think you're somewhere in Europe or Africa or somewhere, so keep moving, Belize. We don't know who you are.
And the creepy thing is they have no sense of geography. Like growing up, four times growing up, a kid would walk up to me and he'd look at me and he'd go, hey, why don't you tell him where you're from? Watch. And then he'd tell the kid, watch this. I'd say, I was born in Honduras. And then he'd look at the other kid and go, I told you he's Cambodian.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Swear to God.
Wow.
Well, that could have been
And I'm like, all right, close enough. What is that?
Here's the thing. I mean, first off, welcome to the L.A. Unified School District, because I'm a product of that mess, too. And there was no emphasis put on geography at all. I mean, it was a little bit of math, a little bit of history, a little bit of English, and some, you know, driver's ed. I was a ceramics major, thank Christ, because it is paying off in spades now. But I didn't have geography, and they really didn't break it down at all, unless possibly some sort of civil war broke out. You might talk about it in that town or that land, but it was really. We didn't travel around too much. And then, you know, there's a map that sort of hung behind the teacher. That was about, they never pointed at it.
Right.
So for me, we never talked about it. And I don't know. I think it's one of the things that sort of got left behind in the educational. I think somebody thought geography is not math. It's not English. It's not biology. Therefore, it's sort of It's the sunroof on the educational car. Not necessary. It's not a steering wheel. Right. It's not an engine.
Right.
If the kid knows where Honduras is, fantastic. If not, he can still get a gig if he can spell his name.
Americans didn't perceive themselves. They were isolated. They didn't perceive themselves as part of a world community.
Right. And, you know, as Americans, we're like, you know, like how stupid celebrity chicks are, like hot celebrity chicks.
Right.
You start asking, well, you know, one of these hot chicks anything about World War II or something. I have no idea about it. We're sort of the celebrity country. Like, look, we don't need to know about you. You should be reading about
us. Right. We're the hot chick.
Yeah, we're the hot chick. Yeah, we got to blow Canada while Mexico films it. We don't have time for this stuff. We're the hot chick country. We're not going to read books. We're partying.
That is what we are.
We're on the beach. Yeah. You guys learn about us, but it's the same thing. It's like we don't have to learn. You know, Paris Hilton doesn't have to find out who we are. We need to find out who she is.
Right.
I think that's what it is.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Carlos Mencia here. We'll take a, I agree with that, by the way. Yeah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Carlos Mencia is here tonight. The Mind of Mencia, name of the show, which is Wednesday nights on Comedy Central, 10:30. I want to talk to... line two? Mm-hmm. Chelsea?
Yeah.
Let's talk to Chelsea. Chelsea?
Hi.
What's happening?
Gosh, this is so awesome. I've been listening to you guys for years. I want to thank you so much for all the great advice over the years, too.
Thanks.
Okay.
Are you on a speakerphone?
No, I'm in a bathroom.
Ooh, okay.
Nice.
Should I move to another room?
No, yeah. It's good. It's fine.
No,
keep the fantasy alive. Stay there.
Yeah.
Okay. So here's the thing. I have a boyfriend. We've been together for about 4 months. I live in Europe most of the time. He's English and I'm American.
What are you doing in Europe?
I go to school over there.
Wow.
Where do you go to school?
Mm-hmm. I'm in university.
Where?
Up in Scotland, the University of St. Andrews.
That's where Prince Edward goes.
Prince William.
I beg your pardon.
And, wow.
I've actually been at the first golf course in the world is at the foot of the St. Andrews University.
Wow.
And there's an institution.
Carlos's
there.
People have made that pilgrimage many, many times.
Yes.
To caddy, but.
To cut the grass.
And there's a club there.
They're still welcome.
There's a club there where they set all the international rules for golf.
Really?
So all the rules are set in this little club.
And if they're going to change...
They have to... And you have to go in there. You have to wear a black tie and stuff. It's crazy.
Wow.
All right? Am I right?
Yep. That's all true.
Yeah.
Wow. What a life you have. And your boyfriend is English.
Yes.
And so you're back here for the summer.
I'm just back here for a couple more weeks.
What are you studying over there?
I do modern history and German.
Oh, how interesting.
Mm. Yeah.
Is there such a thing as modern history? I didn't know you could have modern history. Well, like
that was yesterday.
it includes also parts of last week.
Right.
What the F is modern history?
Some people say 1815 is the beginning of the modern.
Well, the 1815. Over there, because the university is so old, they classify modern history as anything after 1500.
Wow.
Wow. All
right. So yeah. Renaissance and beyond, basically.
Yeah.
So the question is...
The question is, we've been together for 4 months. We have a great relationship. It's a very sexual relationship. And
imagine
I really love this.
Want to start that way, yeah. fresh, hot American ass over there to soil.
All right.
Broken.
Jealous. It's true. She's different.
That's right.
She's the different chick. Come on.
That's right.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, so we have very gentle, consensual sex. We communicate a lot, and we both know what each other like. But the thing is, I would actually like to try some violent role-playing. It's just something I'm interested in, and I like to read erotic literature, and that's usually the kind I go for. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how to introduce this to him without freaking him out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, what do you mean by violent?
What do you mean by freaking him out?
I'm kind of interested in trying, like, a rape fantasy.
Mm. You want to be tied up or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want to have any control in the situation.
Right. So
yeah.
do you sort of feel like sex is bad, and when you're out of control, you can sort of express yourself more freely?
Maybe.
Yeah, that's usually where that kind of comes from. All right,
I like a scene like out of a 60s sitcom where you agree on the rape fantasy, and the guy says, okay, I'll leave and come in through the window for the 5 minutes. course, he's got the ski mask on, but it's a real rapist. Yeah, you see, that's
exactly
how,
in the
and
movie.
So he's like, rape, that's good, honey. Shut up, bitch. Yeah. I like that. Yeah. Nice improvisation.
Right.
Meanwhile, the guy's checking the mail.
Yeah,
he's still
exactly.
standing out there reading a letter. And this guy, but she's, it, and of course, she's throwing the guy around until she finds out he's real rapist, and then she freaks out.
She said, where she says the code word,
right?
And he doesn't stop.
Bluebird. Bluebird. Here's the deal, though.
What are you saying, Bluebird whore?
Sidebar this for a second, though. How many males would freak out if their partner, who they were having sex with and they'd been in a relationship with, asked for this? Well, how many out of 10 would freak out?
Well, it depends.
You know what I'm saying?
Well,
4 out of 10, you think?
I would say 4 out of my 10 friends would freak out.
Would freak out.
Yeah, I would be like, no.
Well, here's the deal. Here's what
this guy's an uptight Englishman. He'd probably be like,
I said,
finally.
But here's the thing. For me, I would say that if you just were into this literature and wanted to try something different, that's fine. If your stepdad raped the crap out of you for 11 years, then I don't want to participate.
All right, well,
you know,
find
I feel
out.
Like we're...
This
we're...
doesn't feel like that.
No, it doesn't. But to me, that's all I need to
you're
know.
You're right. You're right. Well, let's ask.
If you were never raped before, let the raping begin.
Is this... Yeah, if this is a pure fantasy,
is this an acting out, or is this just something you're interested in?
Right.
Line two.
All right.
Pure fantasy. I just really want to try it.
So you were never beaten, you were never sexual abused, anything like that?
No, but the thing with my dad is that he lived with me and my mom at home until I was 16. And when I was 16, I went to live in Norway for a year. So I was gone for a solid year.
Wow.
Right.
And during that year, he moved out. So when I left, you know, it was a normal mother, father, child household. When I came back, everyone had already gotten used to him being gone. I came back to a single parent household. Mm-hmm. And I agree with everyone that it's a better situation with him gone, but he wants to have a relationship with me, and I can't stand to be around him. He just gives me the creeps.
Ooh. Your dad.
Yeah.
You're just angry with him?
It's anger, and the thing is, too, I had 16 years of memories, and the thing is, I can't really remember him being at home.
Ooh, wait, your dad workaholic type?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Meaning you're blocking out him being at home, or he just was never home?
I cannot picture him, like, living here.
All right, you got to get some therapy, Chelsea. Seriously.
I'm just in therapy right now.
All right. Good. That's good. You're fine. Go enjoy.
Your dad's paying for it, right?
Yeah.
Oh, no, cut him a slack. Pay for anything.
It doesn't. You're just sort of independently wealthy, just traveling to Europe, going to university.
Well, I must have debt in my eyeballs, you know, and it's, my mother is helping me. But the thing is, the other big thing is he won't help me at all with university. He won't help with any of the costs.
Why?
I had a conversation with him about this just a few days ago, and he said, I don't see why you think it's the responsibility of mine to help you.
Huh.
Yeah. Let me float a couple of theories. First off, a lot of guys are creepy, and a lot of chicks who are intelligent and have decent antennas pick up on it, and sometimes it turns out to be their dad.
Yeah,
right. And they're like 18, 19, 25, and they're just looking at their dad like it's some dude who's sitting next to him at a bar, and they're like, ugh.
On the other hand, she has this very, very deep rage for him, and this sort of tied-up scenario gives her a chance to sort of break that out a bit. May not be a bad thing. It may be okay. She's in therapy. She should work on stuff. That's fine. I think that 1 or 2 guys out of 10 will freak out about this, and they will tend to be the more macho guys, I would bet.
No. Probably.
And so the Englishman, he's going to be fine with this.
Yeah.
He's going to be
thankful.
The
uptight, quiet guy. That's like,
I can't help but see the similarities between my past and Chelsea's past.
Oh, but going to Norway.
If you substitute Van Nuys for Norway, it's like the same life. And now she's in university in Scotland. Yeah. I was cleaning carpets at 21.
Andrews Air Force Base.
I was putting a Scotch guarding protective sealant on the carpet.
Doing your job for NASA.
Yeah, the point is so many similarities. I feel like, you know, we're kindred spirits over here. Oh, my God. And by the way, here's the other thing. Listen, cry me a river, honey. I could show you a crappy childhood. Believe you me, it wasn't yours. And Carlos probably could do 10 hours on his crappy childhood. You want to know what crappy childhood is?
Can't believe I'm not a freak.
You're pretty weird.
No, I am weird, but like I'm not killing hookers and doing like weird stuff like that, because my parents were really, really, I mean, let me see.
Were they weird or just downtrodden? Oh, I see a star.
I tried to get stabbed right there. Well,
by your mom?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you must have been asking for it.
Well, I, you know.
Did something wrong.
Yeah, I did a lot of things wrong. Don't get me wrong, dude. I mean, I was crazy.
She tried to stab you.
Yeah, she went. I jumped out. She got me in the arm and stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, I got a nice. I got a nice little burn on my back from an iron. It's about that wide.
She threw an iron at you.
Threw it. Burned it. Yeah.
Wow. So let me tell you,
but I've never raped anybody.
Cruel.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, the night is young. Number one. Wow. Yeah. Listen, here's what I have to say about this, too. You can't do all sorts of weird things to your kids and expect them not to do some weird things to their
other
wives,
people.
Their husbands, their
right.
bosses,
right.
and the guy sitting next to them on a
right.
bus. It just
how it
can't.
Works. Just right? how it works.
You just can't. And, you know, as long as we're getting racial here, I'll leave the Mexicans out of this. But
you can bring them into it.
No,
I don't care.
I've done enough on them. I'm moving on to the blacks. The black mamas cannot expect to beat the crap out of their kids constantly right. and not have a lion's share of them end up in the joint for beating the crap out of somebody else.
Right.
That's the way it goes.
Well, maybe that's why, you know, a lot of those rap songs are really angry toward women. You know what I'm saying?
There could be some correlation there.
You know,
because
the mom's beating the kid, and then all of a sudden...
The hard part, though, is when kids are abused like that, they idealize the parent because their rage is so intense. They idealize them for giving them what they needed and all this kind of stuff, as opposed to dealing with the reality of how horrible that felt. They idealize that parent, protect them, so you can't have any conversation about
right.
what happened.
Right. Here's the thing. If your mom beat the crap out of you, you don't have to buy her a house if you make the, you know, you start as a, you know, receiver right. on the Broncos.
Right.
It's, you know, get her a used car or something, but you don't have to be that good to her, and you don't have to idealize her.
The only place I've seen that dealt with really honestly and reasonably effectively is in Antoine Fisher. You ever saw that movie?
No, did not see
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I did see that.
Yeah, Denzel Washington says, this is a direct result of how the slaves were treated, and here's how it's transmitted through family systems. Here's a book right. on it. I'll show you how it works, and it wasn't your fault, and this is why you are the way you are. It's just very direct, and then they go into the stories and all the sexual abuse and stuff this kid suffered.
Right. Yeah, just listen, you beat the crap out of your son, he's going to be beaten on somebody and eventually end up in the joint, and you beat the crap out of your daughter, she's just going to be stripping and
right.
doing porn films. That's basically
right.
how that ends up. Once in a while, the guy makes the team or does something, but that's the exception, not the rule. Stop beating on your kids, everybody.
It's like an OJ thing where it can go, spiral.
Yeah, and then eventually, right, puts together a pretty good run for about 50 years, and then pow.
And then one day it just catches up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but in any extreme behavior, you know what I mean? It's like, I mean, Asians get great grades, but their parents put so much pressure on them, they have, like, this unbelievable suicide rate.
Yep, right.
Sure is it worth the GPA? You know what I'm saying?
Which is, again, that aggression goes somewhere. In that culture, they take it on themselves.
Right.
That's what I like. They fall on a sword. They don't stab
yeah,
you.
Exactly.
They stab themselves.
I kind of like that rage.
I do, too.
I come from the Hispanic culture where we blame everything on the white man, yet 99% of us are stabbed by some dude named Raul.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
The white man, I'm going to shoot Pedro. It's like, what? Shoot the white guy. I thought you didn't like the white guy. He lives far.
Yeah. They have a limited range. That's what I like about them. People, they're not rangy. Yeah.
Like the Asians, they're like, I hit the world, I kill myself. No, that's kind of cool.
They jump off the bell tower if they get a B, you know? I love that. I love any group that takes it out on themselves. I really do. I just love it when they're hard on themselves. All right. I'm trying to think what the Jews, Drew, do. I think that they do.
They take it on their kids and themselves.
Yeah, I know, but they sort of turn in too, which I like.
Yeah,
that.
But there's also that guilt, dude. That Jewish Catholic guilt.
Yeah.
You know, my mom, who had 18 kids, was the best at it. Oh, she was the best at it.
What? How? By the way, how does she keep track? Like, wait a minute, did I stab you last? Well, who needs a stabbing? Who? Right? Show hands.
Do you know how many times my mom would go? Albert, Manuel. You effer, come here. I was known as effer. Like 10 years out of the 18 that I lived at home, I was effer because my mom just gave up. She's just like, you effer, come here. I'm not even gonna try. I don't remember
effer,
your name.
Mother
Get over
effer.
Here right now.
18 kids. Oh, what did look? I have one sister.
Right.
And I gotta.
Right.
You know, I gotta kick her over a few bucks every once in a while.
Right.
Mom, I gotta kick her over a few bucks every. Everyone in my family's basically a loser. I have to pay. You know, my dad, he wants to fly to Philadelphia. I gotta pay for the ticket. I couldn't imagine that times 18. I mean, I'm guessing they're
not. And it's exactly that.
They're not all attorneys and doctors, right?
Of course not. There's a couple that are like doing their own thing, and then, you know.
Then there's the other 14 and a half.
Yeah.
And they need money, right?
All the time.
Now you're on TV.
All the. And it gets like embarrassing because sometimes, honestly, they're my family. And I mean, look, whether I understand it or not, or I agree with, I feel, you know, like I got to help them out to a certain point. As long as I feel like I'm not enabling them.
Right.
But they like highball me. You know what I mean? Like sometimes they'll be like, I want $500. I'm not going to give you $500. I'll give you $100 and help you out. But I'm not going to dig you out of the hole, but I'll help you. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Here's a shovel.
Yeah. And then I'll like, you know, call my mom a week later and she'll be like, did you give your sister the $50 she wanted? Damn, whore, she got me.
That's right.
I thought I was, you know what I mean? Like, or else my sister will call and say, I need $200 and I'll give her $200. And then a week later, she's like, you know what? I didn't want to ask you for three, but I needed three. I thought I could come up with it, but I can't. I need another 100. So I'll give her 100. Then, like a week later, her son will call me up.
But
he won't ask for sneakers or a video game. He'll be like, hey, Uncle Carlos, can I have $226.38? And I'm like, all right, put your mom on the phone. That's a payment of some kind, right, dude. No kid asks for cents.
Right. No. You know what I mean? Get specific.
Your mom's being a bitch. Can you put her on the phone?
Certified.
And you know
what I mean?
So it's like, yeah,
mail order,
exactly,
money order,
dude. So I get like all those kind of phone calls. There are times when I'll pick up the phone and I'll go, "Who is this?" And it's like, you know, my sister Olga. I'll be like, "I love you, sweetie. Really, I'm really, really busy. How much do you want? How much you need? Just let me know how much you need, and that's cool." You know, it's not fair that you just think, I love you and I want to see how everything's going, blah, 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 20 minutes later. But can you lend me? Oh, I told you I didn't have time for this. Just ask for the money right up. God damn. You know, then I don't want to give it to them because they're pissing me off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well,
you are like Corolla.
And believe me, it doesn't win you any popularity contests either. They just sort of resent you.
For giving them money.
More. Yeah. That's about
it. Oh, yeah. Because here's what happens. You give them, and then you give them, and then the day you don't, it's not thank you for everything that you've done for me.
No.
It's, I can't believe that you're not going to, you know, you have all that money.
Oh,
it's like, proper language. I have all that money.
Yeah.
Part of that is yours.
And you can never, ever bring it up. You can never bring it up.
No.
I mean, you can't bring up whatever the last five times they borrowed money from you if they're going for the sixth time. Yeah,
I have one brother who's awesome.
Donating eggs.
Yeah.
My brother Joseph, he's awesome because he's straight up. He doesn't ask to borrow. He's like, give me. Yeah. And I go, you mean borrow? And he goes, you want to call it borrow or you want me to tell you what it really is?
Right.
I'm like, all right, cool, because I'm not going to pay you back.
I'm going to give Joseph a couple bucks, too.
Yeah, I like Joseph. Joseph's cool, man. Joseph is cool like that.
He's seven.
Well,
he's seven.
Here's the thing, too. When they just ask you for it, at least you get a thank you. If they do the borrow, it's implied that they're going to pay it back, so you never really get the thanks, and then they never pay it back. So it's like giving it. It's giving without the thank you.
Right.
And it's worse because
you don't get the credit for giving.
Right.
You don't get the credit for giving, and if you ever ask to get it paid back, that conversation is the worst. And if that's not the case, then all of a sudden you have barbecues over the weekend and half your family's missing because they found out that you're coming and they're embarrassed to show up because they owe you money. And it's like,
I've realized it's horrible.
I've realized
is that what it
boundaries.
Is? You know your family. I'll tell you what your family's like with the borrowing of money. It's the same way chicks are with the buying of jewelry, which is how much can you absorb? How much does it hurt? If you're struggling and you're working as a short order cook at Denny's and you go out and buy your lady a $1,200 engagement ring, it is like, oh my God, this is the most, guy's making $8 an hour. He saved up 10 paychecks for this, scrimped and saved $1,200 cubic zirconia. This is love. Now, if you're Kobe Bryant and you buy your old lady a $1,200 ring, she's PO'd.
Right.
She's going to put it in a wrist rock and fire it up your ass.
Right.
That's basically what she's going to do.
Exactly.
So the point is do women like jewelry? No, it's got to hurt and they like it.
Right.
It's not that $1,200 ring doesn't mean S to the wife of a successful attorney who can afford it. So let me just say this. As far as the money goes with the lending and the family and that kind of stuff, when you're scrimping and you're swinging a hammer and I wasn't doing anything and someone needed $100, it was like, thank you, because it means a lot. Now, $1,000, $2,000, you can. It's can you absorb it? What's it mean to you? And my whole thing
their,
is don't...
their perception.
Right.
Means
don't worry about how much it hurts me. Worry about how much you need it.
Right.
That's the whole thing. And if the perception is like, hey, if you got $100 from Donald Trump, a big deal. You can take it. And that's what the perception is.
As
so,
opposed to, thank you.
For I don't even mind that as much as, this is the what I get. I get the, lend me money, you work too hard. You should stop working. You need to take vacations. By the way, can I borrow $5,000? I'm like, well, how do you think I'm going to get $5,000 if I don't work? I work extra days to support your asses.
Oh, true.
How does your wife take all this?
You don't know the pain.
You know what? She's great now, but she's like, Joel, you can ask her. When we first started dating, the dynamic, like her dynamic, her family is like, listen, my money's my money, her money's her money, their money's their money.
It's good.
And we, you know, if we borrow, we borrow, and we must pay it back.
Yeah.
And when I told my wife, look, I know this is sick, but I grew up with my mom, you know, look, God gave you so much so that you could give. God gives to those who are carrying and
otherwise,
all this kind of stuff.
Otherwise, a chupacabra come get you.
Exactly, right. And all this stuff. So, like, when my, you know, after, like, the fifth time my sister asked for money and they didn't pay it back, my wife is, like,
angry.
What the hell is wrong with these people?
It's her money.
Yeah. You got to be kidding me. These people, no, they're taking advantage of you. This is sick. This is ridiculous. You need to go to therapy. They need to go to therapy. Say no. You know, now she's like in.
She's
no, she still doesn't, but she, instead of like getting mad at me, she gives me the, was that your sister again? Ugh. When are you going to, all right, what? I won't say anything. I won't say, you know what I mean? And I'm just, but then here's what happens. When I put my foot down,
right,
and I say, look, I'm not going to lend you money. I've done too much. I'm sorry. We could count. It has never been over a minute. Ring my mom.
Oh.
I can't believe that you didn't have your sister.
Oh,
and, God damn.
Put mom on.
Damn!
You. No,
and she starts bringing up Jesus Christ. You can't pull Jesus out on the money issue.
No, you can't pull the J-Man out.
It's over. Once he, you know,
18. I just, or 17 minus you. I just couldn't imagine it.
And I'm the lottery. You got to understand that.
Oh yeah.
Like what I realized was doing a little studying. You know, these my parents and people like my parents had so many kids because we grew up like. I lived in Honduras for a while, and living there, I realized that kids are not just kids.
They're lottery tickets.
And at about 10 or 11, they become workers in the family.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
They start doing all the chores and going out, and they're actually a lottery ticket because you get 10 kids, the chances of one of them doing really well are pretty good.
No, someone's going to be, you know, a very successful prostitute.
Yeah. So one of us, you know what I mean? One of us.
Yeah, someone's going to hit.
Something's going to hit. So I was
and by the
one
way,
that
their,
hit.
Their definition of hitting is not, you know, making $1 million a year. That's just having a steady paycheck able to bring a little insurance or
if you
something.
Got 50 G's a year, my mom would have been, oh, my God.
You'd be
you
the
know
king
I mean?
Of the Corollas, too, believe you me.
But, right? But now it's like, it's a different level, man. And, it's that whole diamond thing, whereas the 10 years ago.
Right.
Yeah, if I gave them $200, I was like, wow.
Now, when you got on Comedy Central, they just put it 2 zeros behind every number that they used to think of when they thought about borrowing money from you.
Yeah, it gets more and more and more. I almost made my brother cry because I had to lend him $18,000. And he almost cried.
Wow.
Almost. He teared, welled up. But, like, nothing actually came out of the eye. And I was like, how much do I got to do to get the tears rolling?
Oh, but won't it be glorious when he hands you that check back for $18,000?
See the look on your face? The way you look is how I feel exactly right now.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a little break. Carlos Mencia's here. Wow. 17 brothers and sisters. We'll take a quick break and be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. System of a Down,
yeah?
Good friends from System of a Down. I guess John from System of a Down is going to be in here in a week or so.
Oh, good.
Carlos Mencia here tonight, the mind of Mencia. I've heard spectacular things about it, and I actually went to TiVo it tonight, but I couldn't find it.
It's on Wednesday.
I know. I know, but, you know, Comedy Central reruns things at four in the morning and stuff like that. I thought, I'll catch the first one.
Yeah.
But I went ahead a couple of days, and I just did the one that's Wednesday night at 10:30. They do crazy things. You know what's crazy? They don't run reruns of The Man Show, which is a weird thing. I always wondered about that.
Yet they run reruns of 4,000 reruns of Mad TV.
They run everything. Yeah. I mean, they run tons of stuff, which makes sense. I never did ask about that.
I bet it's the people.
Somebody
that
owns something?
Mm.
Oh, all right.
Well, who produced that? Did they produce it?
Mm. No.
Oh, that's why.
That's, yeah.
Because
they try to produce
everything right. so that they can run it yeah. as many times as humanly possible.
Yeah. Right. Well, that ain't going to happen. Yeah. Lisa?
Hi.
You're 23?
Yeah.
What's up?
Hi, guys. I love your show. I have a question for Dr. Drew.
Yeah.
I wanted to know if you've heard of a pill called RU21. It's a pill that prevents you from getting a hangover no matter how drunk you get.
I've been hearing about it
for a while, and I have a recent article about it that a doctor wrote in the health section of my local paper, just talking about what he'd heard and what he'd seen and how he's being abused. Well, it says, okay, I'll read you the science that it says that it enhances the body's capacity to break down alcohol and prevent the buildup of acetaldehyde, a toxic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if I said.
Yeah, but a hangover is not just from acetaldehyde, though. So,
the whole
premise is faulty.
First off, I'm just going. It doesn't work like pills to make your boobs bigger or your dork fatter.
Right.
Nothing works. Like, no pill works for anything. Really.
There is some toxic effect of acetaldehyde, so it's something that must enhance the effect of something called acetaldehyde dehydrogenase, which is something that actually women lack in their stomach, and it increases the risk of liver disease and various things like that.
Mm.
But in terms of it actually causing hangover, most of the theory about hangover is that it's withdrawal from the alcohol itself.
There
may be a little something to this. It's not so complete fantasy.
So you miss the alcohol, and that's where the headache comes in?
Right.
Is that why the hair of the dog seems to work?
Precisely, because you're in withdrawal, and so you end the withdrawal by taking the alcohol back.
Wow. And what about hydration?
It's all good. You get dehydrated from the alcohol a bit. You get some electrolyte changes, too, and so that's all helpful.
Yeah.
But the thing that really, actually, in reality, would block a alcohol hangover is something called a benzodiazepine, a Valium-like drug, which is what we use to detox people in alcohol.
Pull me down for some of those.
And then the magnesium and folic acid.
I need, like, a keg, too, not just a little.
Thiamine.
All you got to do is get what it is and go to Mexico. They'll make it for you.
Oh, really?
They have it. They got it, dude.
Why are you thinking about this?
Oh, no. You know, I'm a psychology student, and I'm interested in addiction, and we've been kind of in... And so when I saw it, when I saw the article, you know, I've been hearing about it, but I didn't really know what it was.
That will not have an effect on the addictive process. The addiction is a disorder of the medial forebrain bundle.
Mm.
Extended amygdala. Check your, you know, check the neurobiology of that. That's where this disease occurs.
Let me ask the truth. You've been out drinking.
Yeah.
And, I'm going to add to my list of blowhards. What is my blowhard list? There's things that blowhard a-holes say constantly, and no one ever calls them on it. Blah, blah, blah. Like the guys who go, I believe everything happens for a reason. And I was just like, yeah, he's right about that.
Yeah.
Like, what? That's not an answer. But the guy who does the, there are no straight lines in nature. That's the designer guy. And then there's the gay guy on Oprah saying, dogs are pack animals. You know, these sort of super obvious idiot guys. The best way to avoid a headache, best way to avoid a hangover, moderation. Drink.
Yeah.
Don't drink. Oh, thanks, genius.
Wow.
Wow, that's good.
That's good.
Talk about a tip.
Oh.
Wow, safest way to travel? Stay at home. thanks. Oh, best. Hold on. What else? Oh, they do that one, too, with, the sure way not to catch a venereal disease?
Yeah.
Abstinence.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, thanks, Dillweed.
Don't want to have a baby? Don't have sex.
Yeah, okay,
oh, wow.
Thank you. So your answer is just don't do anything? Like, what about being injured at the workplace? Don't work? Don't have a job? Like, is it just your answer? Is this divorce? You want to be sure not to get...
Don't
get married. Is everything just don't do whatever it was going to do? How about die of pulmonary disease? Never be born?
Yeah, right.
That's your plan? You idiot?
Right.
You're an expert at what? Blowing hard? What is your field of expertise besides blowing hard? Jesus Christ, we buy so much of that. It drives me insane. It drives the diet guys. You want to lose weight? I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to exercise more. You got to eat less. You got to breathe.
You got to breathe.
You got to breathe.
Oh, who was that? There was somebody that actually did
Susan
the breathe
Powder.
Thing. That's right.
Yeah, now she's breathing in a straitjacket while a guy chases her around with a butterfly net. Please, all these retarded idiots, and they just sit there, and they're like, I'll tell you what, you ain't no shortcuts. You tell you what you got to do. You got to take in less calories. You got to burn more calories. You got to drink
Don't
water.
Eat potatoes, but eat all the meat that you want.
Right,
it's
right.
It's like, what? Are you kidding me? No pasta, but all the meat I can get? Bacon, hot dogs, yeah, all the meat, just no potatoes.
I'll tell you, the part of the salad, the dressing, that's where the calories are. Oh, you mean the tasteless, just leafy green crap, nothing? It's all the cheesy flavored Roquefort stuff that's where, let me write this down. Where have you been, my host? What a genius this guy is. All right, what was I complaining about, Drew? Oh, yes, the sure way to avoid a hangover, and I fall for it every goddamn New Year's because it's like, oh, New Year's, the news thing is hangover tips, surefire way to avoid, and the guy comes out, tells you nothing for 10 minutes, and then ends up with, and of course, don't drink. That's the best. Okay, but I'm drunk now, so what are we going to do about this? And, Drew, I want to know, what should you drink Gatorade before you go to bed? Like, it's the end of the night. I know you should have a glass of water in between cocktails, but let's just say it's the end of the night and it's too late. I'm at home. I drank too much. What is my move? Multivitamin.
Wouldn't hurt.
Banana? How about a banana?
Tomato juice, something like that.
Yeah. Something in the system?
Something to settle the acid in your stomach, so like a Pepsi would be a good idea because you get a gastritis from the alcohol.
Oh, really?
That's what helps at some Pepsi. Of the vomiting, yeah.
And then how about like a couple Advil before you go to bed, like something like that?
Yeah.
What about an aspirin? Tylenol, not Tylenol's good, bad rough, for the liver?
Yeah, bad for the liver. A couple of Motrin, that's bad for the stomach again, but if you take your Pepsi, Motrin might be useful. But yeah, tank up on fluids, that's a good thing.
And a Gatorade be good?
And that's about all you can
do. How about for Carlos, he wants a horchata?
Horchata's all right.
Is that good?
Yeah, horchata's good.
Yeah, that's awesome.
What about that whole theory about what oil or something like that to coat your stomach before you drink?
What about like greasy stuff?
That's crap.
That's crap.
I mean, you just snake oil. Yeah.
You're drunk and you want chili fries, but that doesn't mean it does anything,
no,
right?
It doesn't mean a damn thing.
But how about putting something in your stomach, just other than alcohol? How about having a slice of bread or something?
It's more the rate. No, that won't do anything. It's more the rate at which you drink that will affect things.
All right. All right. Well, one thing I've learned to do is drink over the years.
Mm-hmm.
I don't shoot my wad in the 8 o'clock hour. I spread it out.
Right.
You know
so
I
get sick anymore.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get pancreatitis. All kinds of awful things can happen.
Yeah. I ride that nice buzz wave through the night.
Pill of Germany or Florida.
Ooh, Carlos, this is a game called Germany or Florida, which is people call in. They tell us the bizarre, sick, twisted story that took place in either Germany or Florida, because
that's
the birthplace of all bizarre stories. It either happened in Germany or it happened in Florida. So it could happen no other place.
I love Florida. It's one of my favorite states.
And the thing about like the difference between the game Germany or Florida, it's not like people can't get shot in Detroit or can't get shot in Chicago, but they don't eat the digits of the person they shot.
Right.
They don't fry it up in a pan, and they don't do the weird, macabre, bizarre, ritualistic
and often
stuff.
Often sexual and aggressive and weird
right.
stuff.
Right. That's Germany, or that's Florida. Germany is really the Florida of Europe, I've now figured out. So, John, you tell us the question or tell us the story, and we'll decide if it's Germany or Florida.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I want to ask you a bunch of questions.
Oh, this is the guy.
Answered immediately.
This is one of those things where the guy plays the clips from the movies.
I'm John Connor.
Yeah, now here's the funny part about this whole thing. He's been on hold for 97 minutes and 30 seconds, almost an hour and a half. He's been on hold.
This.
We spoke to him for about 28 seconds before his call was essentially over. But I'll tell you, still a hell of a prank.
One
Go
of
ahead.
Us is in deep trouble.
John. John, here's the thing. You have to have some semblance of an order. There has
purpose,
to be some order here. You know what I mean? Like, we ask you how you're doing, and then Schwarzenegger says, I'm fine, or how are you, or don't ask, or something like that.
I'm Detective John Kimble.
There you go.
Right. Oh, he hung up. All right. Wow, he was on hold for 97 minutes, and he really got less than 30 seconds in.
There you go.
He wasn't even technologically ready for this.
Let's actually take a call from Florida then.
All right. John?
Yeah.
You're 19?
Yeah.
You sound like a delight.
Yeah. What? Well, sorry.
That's all right. Go ahead.
Ever since I was about 14, I found myself sort of becoming attracted to people that were my age, which was probably fine then, but now it's kind of been disturbing me because I'm getting to an age where I probably shouldn't be attracted to people that are younger than me like that, and I wanted to know if there's anything I can do about it.
Wait, when you were 14, you were into 14-year-olds.
Right.
And now you're into 14-year-olds?
Now you're 19 and you're into...
Yeah, right.
Well, you're going to have to knock this off or start producing.
If well, no. Producer, I mean, it's fine. Not like
movie, a, television?
Either one.
I've never done anything at all. I mean,
All right, well, John, here's what sort of helps assess how much you need in dealing with this. Were you sexually abused as a child?
No.
All right.
Were you physically abused as a child?
No.
All right.
And have you ever had a relationship, a girlfriend or boyfriend?
Yeah, I have a girlfriend.
You have one now?
She's 19. We went to high school together.
Oh. All right. So you just have these sort of almost Tourette's-y sort of thoughts running through your mind as it pertains to young women.
And you have no intentions?
No intentions, no.
All right.
There you go.
Look, here's the thing. We're not going to, you know, a lot of people call the show and they say, I had a dream where I was having sex with my dad. I had a dream. By the way, Drew knows, I had a dream that my grandmother beat me with my own testicles.
And a boy's drowning in a pool.
I was drowning in a pool, and she beat me. They were oversized.
Wow!
Yeah.
That's a gnarly dream.
They were life-sized. I don't know, oversized. They're already,
I do have a prodigious sack. Yeah. The point, here's the
That's
point.
That's a good dream, huh?
Point is...
That is an awesome dream.
I
want to hear about the dream. Screw whatever you're about to say, dude.
That's it.
That's a great dream. You can't say that and then move on to something else.
Well, that's all I can remember.
Dream.
Yeah.
But here's the deal about John, though. What concerns me about guys that have fantasies like that in this day and age, he's going to cruise around the internet, he's going to find some pictures that he likes, and he could get some momentum with this.
Mm-hmm.
So do not start going down that path, John, because that's where sexual addiction can take off sometimes. Maybe there was some inappropriate sexual abuse or exposure or something when you were younger you're really not aware of.
Yeah.
So be careful not to sort of let this horse out of the barn, as it were.
And also, for everyone who feels like they might have the capacity to spin out with whatever, drugs or pedophilia or, you know, bizarre pornography addictions or whatever it is, don't take that first step. I mean, don't try heroin for the first time if you think that maybe you're on the fence about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
There is that whole sort of part where it's that, like, that life of crime. It's like, don't start with that first little, penny ante.
It really works, by the way. I believe that I'm an alcoholic, but I've never, ever drank in my life.
Well, if you're not, you have a predisposition for it. You're not an alcoholic. You just have the potential.
Is that what it is? I think I do. That's why I've never been drunk.
Yeah.
Right. And you, and
because I'm afraid that if I did,
yeah. And I wonder if people, you know, and by the way, when you take it, look at any ruined life, it always starts off with some sort of small step into this world, and before you know it, 2 years goes by and they're immersed in it. Try not to take that first step. If you're someone who has that capacity. Me, I don't really have that capacity, so I get to do whatever I want. Yeah, heroin, murder, whatever.
But aren't those the best stories? Like, you know what I mean? Like, if you took them down and shrank them in size, they start off with, you know, when I was 13, I had my first drink.
Oh, yeah.
And then, like, 3 hours later, it's like, so it's me, a donkey, and two midgets. Whoa, wait a minute, dude. That's freaky.
I always like the people who claim they don't know what the drug was. Like, I was at a party, and some guy gave me some white powder and told me to suck it up my nose. I didn't know what it was, but I thought this is all. It's like, you never heard of Coke? You know what I mean? Like, and by the way, let's just say you didn't know what it was. What the hell were you doing? Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
The best is, who is it? Bob Evans, who from The Kid Stays in the Picture.
Yeah,
you ever
see
that documentary? He was that big Hollywood producer who's a crazy narcissist.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, did Chinatown. The guy was on top of the Hollywood industry for like 25 years, and then sort of he's all over the map. But the point is The Kid Stays in the Picture was a cool documentary and I guess a cool book and all that stuff. But when he tells the story about how he got into cocaine, it's awesome.
Yeah.
He's like, first off, he's like 45 at the time, and he's like, a blonde lady, a 19-year-old attractive lady, handed me some powder and a straw and said it'd make me feel good. And I was like, what is this stuff? Well, I'll give it a try, sweetie. Like, wait a minute. No, you're the old producer. You're getting her coked up, remember?
He's 45.
Yes, you've been in Hollywood for 30 years. You never heard of coke?
Never heard of it.
Never seen it. Never heard of it. And by the way, she wants to get your shriveled ass into the sack. She's a hot 19-year-old. She's not going to coke your ass up, old man. You coke her ass up, which is fine, but don't pretend like, what is this mysterious powder? Oh, really?
She was 19. Right. She'd just gotten off the Greyhound bus.
You went all the way through the 60s and 70s in the middle of Hollywood. What is this mysterious powder? It's white form and powder. You had no idea what it is.
It was cut with ether and vitamin B. I could tell.
She rolled up a 20 and asked me to snort some. It felt good. Yeah, that's right. Next thing you know, he gets busted for a kilo of this stuff. And it's like, he was buying it for his friend. That's awesome. That's what I love about crazy narcissists. Not only do they believe their own ass, I think they expect us to believe it too.
But most of us in Hollywood do believe
them,
though.
Things happen to them.
Right.
It just happened to them.
Awesome. All right, we're going to take a little break. Carlos Mencia here tonight. We'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Carlos Mencia is here tonight. The Mind of Mencia is the name of the show. Wednesday nights, Comedy Central. Got good ratings. It's a premiere last week on Wednesday, 10:30. That's my impersonation or impression of the Mexican mother who answers the phone when I'm calling to try to get one of my workers on there. Weird, suspicious. Hey, is Oswaldo home? Oswaldo? No! No, you know ya! So it's like, what? Was he abducted? Is someone holding a gun to you? Like, I picture like someone going like, the phone, like, someone's abducted. Someone, Oswaldo's got a bullet in him. They're holding a gun to her. The phone rings. It's like, okay, sister, nice and easy. Pick up the phone. No funny stuff. By the way, remember that was a part of every movie?
Yes.
They'd be somewhere. It's right in the middle of the kidnapping or the abduction. The phone rings. Okay, nice and easy.
Right.
Nice and easy. Pick that. Hello?
Right.
No, honey, I'm nothing easy. Like, why doesn't that happen anymore?
They grew rid of TV stuff. Like, when I was a kid,
I think they just don't pick the phone up anymore. Right. It's like, all right, just don't pick it up.
Right.
Well, back when then, you had to pick it up.
Yeah. What they did when I was a kid was there was always that one Hispanic family, and they'd knock on the door, and the cops would be like, did you see anything? And the woman would be like, no, I see nothing. I don't know nothing. And she'd close the door. Then they'd knock again, and they'd be like, listen, lady, if you don't tell us, we're going to call immigration. It was Raul. He lives around the corner on 4251. You know what I mean? It was always, we're going to call immigration. You don't want any troubles with INS. No, senor. I know who did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, that always worked. You put a little INS pressure on them, and they crack like a melon in the sun. Awesome. Yeah, I just realized I get obsessed with things that aren't around anymore, like every third movie with the, okay, synchronized watches. All right, what do you got? All just synchronized as watches. No synchronization of watches, and there's no pick up the phone. Huh. Nice and easy.
And
or,
no souffle.
You know what else left? The actual answer the door. I'll be standing right in the entry hall just out of the way. Tell the cops, tell your husband, tell whoever. You know what I mean? Whoever's knocked on the door, I'm standing right here.
A little bit of that.
Yeah, just, I'm going to.
That's a great movie.
I'm going to stand just out of eye line of whoever's at the door, but send them packing. And you're always like, you're an idiot because you're watching a movie and you're thinking, run, just run out. Meanwhile, you're 18 minutes into a 2-hour movie. Like, what do you think you're going to do? Just run out, go to safety? Movie's going to be over?
Right.
You know, there's a whole abduction and road trip that's going to happen here. Run, run. Be awesome if they just ran once and the movie just ended. That was 20 minutes.
I've watched so many movies that at the end sometimes I just want the bad guy to get away. Not because of any other reason that I want to leave going. I can't believe the movie ended and the guy got away. They never caught him. You know what I mean? That would be kind of cool.
Yeah, well, if he's sympathetic, he can get away on occasion.
Didn't the French Connection guy get away?
Yeah, I think he may have. Yeah. Popeye Doyle didn't get to him. Jamie?
Yes.
25?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
All right. Hold on. Engineer Chris, I'm going to give you $100 right now if you tell me who played Popeye Doyle.
in the French Connection?
I really don't know.
All right. Jamie?
50 cents.
You're 25?
Uh-huh.
What's up?
Well, I was just... My husband and I have been together since we were in sophomore. We met in summer school.
Mm-hmm.
And we've only been with each other. And we were just kind of wondering what it would be like to have somebody else come in and, you know...
Who started this idea?
By the way, meeting in summer school is a bad sign scholastically.
Mm. You know what I mean? Well, no. See, my parents took me out of school when I was a freshman to go traveling around the United States. So we went through 36 states. So it wasn't like we were bad kids or anything.
Were you guys like the Von Trapp family or something? What were you doing?
Was the circus tents involved?
Your dad was on the lam.
My dad
one step ahead of the law? Yeah. Huh? You ever hear about someone being two or three steps ahead of law? It was just
one step. Yeah. Yeah, you only need one.
That's
well, because if you're two or three steps ahead, then you're not being followed.
Yeah, you're at home.
Same as
point,
one.
You're safe.
All right. So, what were you doing out on the road when you were that young?
My dad had just retired, so we were traveling around the United States, checking out historical things.
Well, kind of cool, but I'd be like, okay, Dad, you retired, but I'm 14. I didn't retire.
I gotta go to school, Dad.
Yeah,
how about that?
I got friends and stuff. All right, so...
Yeah, but I had a sister, so it wasn't all that bad.
All right.
How old were you?
I was, let's see, I was 14.
All right. Yeah.
Were you homeschooled at the time, or they just didn't even bother with teaching?
No, we were homeschooled. We were doing correspondence.
Oh, okay. Right. Well, that's cool.
By the way, next time I say 14 and you were 14, feel free to go, wow, that's something. You know how old I was. All right. So, Jamie, now your husband wants a threesome.
Was it his idea?
Not really.
Okay, and you're interested in being with a woman?
Yeah.
Do you have kids?
No.
We're going to finish where we started. Do you have kids?
Yeah.
Oh.
You do. Hey, Jamie, can you do me a favor since we're almost out of show and stop doing the goddamn five Mississippi silent count before you answer whatever yes or no question I ask you?
Sure.
There you go. Good. How many kids? Quick.
We have one son.
One son.
All right, well, that's it.
That's
again,
enough.
Third call tonight, we remind people they've relinquished their right to goof around.
Your parents.
No, but listen. It's not like he would be at home because he spends...
No, listen.
It's nothing to do with him being at home,
everyone,
Jamie.
Everyone looks at this, it's like he's...
Nobody gets that part.
God.
Well, he's going to be asleep.
He's going to be asleep, and when he wakes up, whore mom's going to be cooking him eggs. That's what.
Mom and dad are not going to have the same relationship they had before he went to bed.
It's like you are. Look, I don't do the drugs in front of the kid. I don't have the orgies in front of the kid. I don't do the swinging in front of the kids. I don't do the satanic rituals in front of, I don't care what you do in front of them. You're that person, you idiots.
Yes.
That's the worst part.
Yes.
It'd be better if you just did it in front of them once and then you weren't that person.
Right.
That would actually have a lesser
probably
effect. All right. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this. That's it. Carlos Mencia, God bless you for coming in. Wednesday nights, 10:30, the Maya Mencia, Comedy Central. We're plumb out of time, but come back anytime you like.
It's fun, man.
Jokes, give it a plug. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo. And give me the stilts and give me a hawk. Go ahead and put the joint compound. Put the joint compound first, and then we'll put the topping on.
This has been Loveline. Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.